Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686 on the line. Margaret Gray from Newport Beach, and she is writing a nationally syndicated column tomorrow morning, speaking of Mike Tyson, who won his fight the other night against Lou Savarese, but also made the comment that he wanted to eat Lennox Lewis's children, and that he wanted to be the most savage and brutal champion ever, Margaret. And those were some comments made after some other very controversial behavior in the ring. One moment, apparently, he inadvertently struck the referee, and just a lot of things. This guy's out of control, isn't he?
Phil, I really think that it was unfortunate what Mike said. It was very African.
Well, you've said that before. What does that mean, very African?
Phil, really what that means is that Mike Tyson is an African-American who made a comment about eating someone. It was very unfortunate. I wish he hadn't said it. I think it's the kind of thing that can be misunderstood. And
well, what is to misunderstand? Is there anything to understand?
Only from the standpoint that because of his African genealogy, and because, yes, at one time, and we could be talking hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years ago, African people did eat other people. And I really wish Mike hadn't said it, but I get where he's coming from. He's a great champion. He doesn't want to be stopped. But the what we call a cannibal motif, the
cannibal meaning cannibal.
Meaning cannibal, yes. That is the French colonial pronunciation of cannibal. The cannibal, the cannibalese. And those are people that are flesh eaters. So it's tough to advise Mike. If I were his manager, I would have said, let's keep that in the background, because there's a lot of people that don't get that and don't understand where that's...
Well, all right, so you're saying that he made the comments about eating Lennox Lewis's kids because that's a perfectly normal thing for a black man to say?
I would say that it's not perfectly normal. It's perfectly understandable, given the cannibal.
Given the cannibal. Given what? What do you mean by that?
Given the cannibal aspect or the motif or the background of some African people.
Well, you know that cannibalism wasn't just practiced in Africa. It was practiced in Fiji. You know,
well, wherever, Phil, but we are talking about an African-American.
All right, Margaret Gray with us, 1-800-449-8686, talking about Mike Tyson the other night in defeating Lou Savarese and in looking forward to a heavyweight fight with the heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis, said that he wanted to eat Lennox Lewis's kids. He said this directly to Lennox Lewis, which, what is that about? I mean, this guy trying to, what is he trying? He's not winning any points with any fans, is he?
You know something, Phil? I like Mike Tyson. I like him a lot. I think he's a very intense fighter. I think he's a man of great strength, great brute strength. There is an energy about him that I find attractive. There is a strength about him that I find very terribly attractive. There is a sensuality, if you will. I think any woman who has seen Mike Tyson can tell you there is a sensuality almost bordering on an animal style sexual magnetism.
This is the same. You're talking about the same Mike Tyson that was accused of beating his wife.
I'm talking accused. Never brought down for that.
You're talking about a sexual animal magnetism. The same Mike Tyson that was arrested for raping a woman.
Phil, listen to me. White people need to learn about African behavior and accept this man eat man desire, and it will help black and whites unite and tear down racism. Because
as long as I accept that some black guys want to eat humans, where are you getting this? Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear.
Yes, he did. And what does that tell you?
So he bit Evander Holyfield's ear because he wanted an appetizer or something? What? I mean, the whole...
Phil, what I'm saying is this. If white people can accept the black man's need for human flesh, then white people will be able to unite with blacks against racism and unite our country in what could very well be a new age, if you will, a renaissance of human relationship. And that only comes, I think, in understanding the black man. Maybe he missed dinner and had an ear for a stack. I don't know what the whole...
All right, so he bit Evander Holyfield's ear because of the cannibal. And he is now threatening to eat Lennox Lewis's children because of that as well.
I'm saying it was unfortunate that he said that, yes.
Even though it's entirely understandable?
Knowing what I know about the African-American man, yes.
1-800-449-8686, Santa Fe Springs on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, who are you talking to trying to justify idiot Mike?
Andre Price fight? I have.
Not ringside, no.
I have been to some 10 heavyweight prize fights. Mike Tyson is perhaps the greatest champion of all.
Oh, come on.
At one point, that's true.
Nobody's going to buy that. Not over a career.
Neither one of you gentlemen have been to a prize fight. Is that correct?
I've been to
heavyweight. What does that matter?
I've been to a prize fight.
Have you been to a heavyweight championship fight?
I never have, no.
Have you, sir?
What does that matter?
Have you,
no,
sir?
No, I have not. What does that matter?
Well, then you little boys need to listen to Mommy. I'll tell you. I've seen these guys up close. And Mike Tyson, pound for pound, is the greatest heavyweight champion ever.
Oh, you got to be dreaming. I'm not going to buy that.
But you're still an idiot. What's this cannibal stuff?
I'm talking about the African American's desire to return to some African root.
Are you a black woman?
No, I am not.
Well, then how are you such an authority on the African roots?
Well, are you aware of the cannibal?
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as cannibalism.
Well, yeah, okay, that there is.
All right,
what,
that is
what's
what
this
the cannibal?
Cannibal
is the French colonial pronunciation of cannibal.
And what do you know about French colonialism?
Because I've traveled and I know what cannibalism is, the cannibal, in animistic culture in Africa. It is very deep-seated and many African-Americans carry it. And
okay,
so you're
Tyson
trying to tell
was
me...
born in Brooklyn. Where does his deep-seated Africanism come from?
Well, why does he want to eat Lennox Lewis's children?
Because he's an idiot.
Because of the Because of the cannibal. And
what do you mean?
He was born in Brooklyn.
There is a Phil.
He was raised by a white man, Customato.
Both of you should quit being racist and let blacks.
I'm not being racist. I'm saying you're a fool, and Mike Tyson's an idiot.
He may be an. You know, you don't know Mike.
Well, you don't know Mike either. You've never met him, all right?
And all I'm saying is that because of the African ancestry, there is the cannibal. And neither one of you want to look at that.
So how much ancestry does a person have to have? Mike Tyson was born in Brooklyn, raised in upstate New York by Customato.
And wants
Where
to
is
eat,
his African roots coming
and wants
from?
To eat Lennox Lewis's children. Well, there you
because
go.
Because really, he's an idiot.
No idiot wants to eat children.
Oh, well, I agree with the guy. He's a moron. You know, you can sometimes chalk up a lot of things. Thank you, sir, for your call. By just simply saying the person was stupid. San Fernando on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. San Fernando, hello. Gone? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
I'm talking about the cannibal.
I know. Well, when you say the cannibal, all right, we're back on the air. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is my guest, syndicated national columnist, who's talking about the Mike Tyson fight the other night against Lou Savarese. He pretty much did Savarese in 38 seconds. 38 seconds is all it took for him to knock Savarese out. After the fight, Tyson apparently. Had made some comments about eating Lennox Lewis's children, and had also made some other comments about eating out or taking Lennox Lewis's heart out.
Yes, he said he wanted to rip his heart out and show it to him. Now that sounds very savage, but that is what an African warrior does. And
oh boy, you really want to go down that warrior route, don't you?
That is the cannibal.
And the cannibal means cannibal. Isn't that right?
The cannibal is of the cannibalese, which is the French colonial pronunciation of cannibal. And I think, Phil, you really need to understand the heart and the mind of the African warrior to know. Mike Tyson's the greatest champion that ever lived.
All right, let me go to Philadelphia on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hiya.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Okay, Phil, number one, Margaret Gray is not knowledgeable in boxing. Ms.
I
Gray,
beg your
number
pardon.
One,
I've been
is this a two-way conversation, Phil?
Yes, it is, Margaret. Okay. Let the man say.
But I have been to a great many heavyweight championship fights.
Phil, I thought this was a two-way talk show.
Go right ahead, sir.
Margaret
well,
Gray.
I won't be dominated
oh, here
by
we
a man.
Go again.
Oh, you think you're going to dominate me?
Can I give an opinion,
Please
Phil?
Let the man give his opinion.
Go ahead.
Number one, the greatest heavyweight of all time was Rocky Marciano.
Was he on the cannibal?
Ma'am,
was
may
he on the
I
cannibal?
Finish making a point?
Rocky Marciano wasn't of the cannibal, no. Go
Number
ahead, sir.
Number two, undefeated, 49-0. I happen to have seen one of the greatest heavyweight fights of all time, September 23rd, 1952, Philadelphia's Municipal Stadium, where he knocked out Jersey Joe Walcott. That's number one.
Compared to Muhammad Ali, he was a tomato can.
Listen, do you want to know who the greatest heavyweight of all
compared
time is?
Compared to Muhammad Ali,
Mike Tyson,
Little Red Riding
Hood. Ms. Gray, you can talk over me, but you happen to be uninformed when it comes to boxing.
Well, you may be right about Mr. Marciano going 49-0.
Of course I'm right. And
how many Negroes did he
fight? And guess what?
How many Negroes did he fight?
You happen to be, Miss Gray, this is two-way. May I get it? You're on this program for a long time. I only have a couple minutes to make a point.
I understand. I'm the guest.
Number two,
I get to talk.
You happen to be a self-hating, guilt-ridden white woman. That's number two.
I beg your pardon.
You beg my pardon?
Yes.
You go right ahead and beg all the pardons you like. You happen to be very, very wrong.
But you're not familiar with the cannibal.
I beg your pardon?
You're not familiar with the cannibal.
I'm familiar with American people. And Mike Tyson is not an African. He happens to be an American who happens to be black.
Boxers so, must have the cannibal in them in order to be great.
Listen, lady, don't get off on a tangent here. You know you're wrong.
Wrong about what? About Mike Tyson?
About Mike Tyson. I saw that fight. I saw the post-interview and heard everything Mike Tyson had to say.
What did he say, sir? Did he say he wanted to rip out Lennox Lewis's heart?
Yes, sir. He said that also.
That is the cannibal.
What do you mean, the cannibal?
Of the cannibalese, wanting to eat the other person.
Phil,
what do you think
listen,
he did to Evander? What do you think he did to Evander Holyfield?
This woman
did he give him a kiss?
To be a very narrow-minded woman.
Well,
I thank you, Phil. I thank you for
well,
hearing me.
Thank you very much.
Okay?
Sir. It must have been a great fight, Jersey Joe Walcott, 1952, huh?
I saw the fight in person here in Philadelphia.
A couple of tomato cans.
Who was a tomato can? Marciano?
Oh, Marciano was Little Red Riding Hood compared to Ali.
You know what, lady?
And
you better stick to riding baloney and not boxing because you don't know a thing about boxing.
Are you trying to tell me?
I am definitely trying to tell you. You are uninformed, lady.
Do you know that Marciano would be Mike Tyson's punching bitch?
Rocky Marciano, you can't take away the fact.
I want to answer that point.
Go ahead,
you
sir.
You can't compare fighters of different eras. Rocky Marciano was 5'10", 185 pounds. You can't compare heavyweights of those days with the big heavyweights of today.
Well, that's a fair point.
You cannot compare them. They're different eras, different fighters.
Oh, so, I think that boxing is a lot like African warmongering.
Oh, here we go to that. Here we go to that crap again about the African.
No, the cannibal.
Listen, lady, you know you're boring with that cannibal baloney.
Boy, no kidding. Thank you, sir.
Thanks
for your call. Here is West Palm Beach on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
You fine, ma'am.
You know, Phil, you can laugh all you want.
There's no way that accepting cannibalism amongst black people is going to end racism. I don't know one sane person who thinks it's right, who would go along with it.
Are you aware of the fact that there was the cannibal?
I don't care about the cannibal, you know? I mean, I'm German. Does that mean I should have the right to want to go gas every Jew, and because I'm German, it's okay?
You're attributing
and it's
some...
Gonna,
yeah.
It's going to end, you know, bigotry and racism.
I'm saying if you were given the right as a German to gas Jews, it would
I
end...
I wouldn't want it.
It would
and no black person should be given the right to be a cannibal either.
But it would end
and
racism.
And also, I'm a woman. I don't find one thing appealing about this man who can't even speak the English language. He's not the least bit attractive. He's got no sex appeal.
Oh, you're talking about
and
Mike Tyson?
You really, and how can you give credence to this woman by having her on your program.
Wait a minute. Wait, Margaret, you are saying this lady, because she just made a point about being German, having some racial genetic type that would want to go and gas Jews.
We have already accepted the big hair afro. Why not the cannibal? Now, this woman is...
Because the big hair afro doesn't hurt, maim, or kill other people. Now they'll all be using this defense for murder, rape, child abuse, and whatever other means, you know,
but
whatever
what if
else
we let,
they do.
If we let Germans gas Jews, it would keep bigotry at a minimum. Don't you understand?
No,
what?
Explain it to me.
What?
What?
What did you just say?
How would that keep bigotry to a minimum? Because there'd be nobody left to be bigoted against? You make no sense. How can you put this woman even on the air?
What are you trying to say?
I'm simply saying that if you give a man the right to be himself, he'll be himself.
And the whole world would go down the toilet because there'd, people would be out there.
Oh, just because
there's
a few Africans.
There'd be bedlam in the streets.
Let the greatest society win. The cannibal of the African or the gassy
Jew
of the German.
I think that ended, that's why we went to war.
That's exactly right. And what do you mean?
That's why we have laws.
Let the best society win.
That's right.
People in prison.
And so you want to let the African Americans eat people and let the Germans gas Jews, and whichever society is better will win?
Phil, that's called social Darwinism. I don't think I'm out of line when I say that that is how the world has survived.
Well, what are you talking about? Go gas some Jews and go eat some people and we'll see which one's better?
Boy, you really don't get prize fighting, do you?
Yeah,
this has
you're
nothing to do with prize fighting. This has to do with the human race,
well, I don't know how
of which I really don't think you're a member of.
All right, ma'am. Thank you for your call. Thank you, Margaret. Good luck with your column tomorrow.
I really don't think it's fair that you gang up on me, Phil, with your listeners, because...
I don't think it's fair that you come on here with a bunch of crackpot ideas about the cannibal. And what was this bit she was trying to lay on me just a few minutes ago about how the world would be a better place if we could gas more Jews? All I know is that Tyson was quoted as saying that he wanted to rip out Lennox Lewis's heart and eat that, and then he wanted to eat Lennox Lewis's children. What's wrong with that? Tyson managed to dispatch fellow American Lou Savarese after 38 seconds of the first round of the fight at Hampden Park. Referee John Coyle stopped the fight after a blistering attack by Tyson culminated with a left jab which finished Savarese. And apparently, the referee was hit himself. In one instance, trying to separate the fighters, Tyson stepped around the referee to try to get a left hook in and caught Savarese by mistake, knocking him to the floor. The fight was declared a TKO, a technical knockout for you fight fans. And this whole idea that Rocky Marciano and Jersey Joe Walcott were a couple of tomato cans. I don't know, man. But the guy made a really good point. You can't judge a fighter overall. Every generation has its fighter. You can't compare Muhammad Ali. In my life, Muhammad Ali was the greatest heavyweight champion that I'd ever seen. But how many heavyweight champions I'd seen? I'd seen Joe Frazier. I'd seen some of those bums from those days. George Foreman, all those guys. Today, everybody's talking about either Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, guys like that. And then back in the 50s, it was Marciano or whoever. Greatest fighter I ever saw was Muhammad Ali. And he fought everybody that he fought everybody they asked him to fight. But I never, ever, ever, in all the time that I followed prize fighting, ever heard anybody say, you know, if Muhammad Ali was free to eat human beings, it would end racism, as I just heard Margaret say on this show. And I will go even further, and maybe it's controversial. I don't think because Mike Tyson said he wanted to eat Lennox Lewis's kids, it's got anything to do with any genetic code dictating cannibalism among Africans. Which is about as screwy as that one guy who said that's the reason why they had that big fight outside the Washington Zoo, because the closer black folks get to monkeys, the more wild they act. That's the sick world we live in, folks. I'm trying to change it. I'm Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. After the Los Angeles Lakers won the NBA championship a week ago tonight, there were some disturbances reported. There was some violence around the Staples Center downtown L.A. A couple of cop cars were set on fire. I believe I heard reports. You have to understand that I got all of this secondhand. I was in Mexico. And in fact, I was so removed from American culture, the next day I said to somebody poolside, as I was sitting there having a Cadillac margarita, I said, geez, I sure wish I could have seen that game. And I said, oh, the game was on ESPN. They had it right. They piped it right into the hotel bar. I said, how about that? I forgot. He said, well, there were some problems, and the problems had to do with people acting up outside of the Staples Center. I heard tell of some looting of some stores, some store windows smashed, and we know about the police cars being set aflame. And generally an ugly scene that one is not used to seeing in Los Angeles, although I suppose that that's changed. Now that we've had it here, I'm sure we'll have it again. So the next championship we win here. In other words, L.A. is just like Detroit or any other town. And don't let it ever be said that Los Angeles is a place where things are done differently, because when it comes to this kind of crap, we just go right along with the program. Just go right along with everybody else. This is the entertainment capital of the world. It's also where we lift more ideas than any other place in the world. So naturally, if there's an idea of rioting after a ball game, we'll pick up on that one too. Hey, after all, Survivor, they ripped off from Swedish TV, didn't they? Survivor's a lift from Swedish television. And, you know, like 30 years ago, All in the Family, they got that from British TV. Is there anything that we do here that's original? Anything? Just tell me one thing that we've invented. Just one thing. And don't tell me rock and roll, because I'm not so sure that that wasn't imported from, you know, Switzerland or someplace like that. I think they pulled that. I think there was a few Swiss. Most good TV shows were ripped off from Europe, according to my engineer, Craig Taylor. You're right. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? They had to rip that one off. Can you believe a simple show like that, they had to lift that from somebody? Geez, I can't think of a thing. Let's go rip off this idea about asking a guy questions and then giving him money when he gets the right answer. I couldn't. That's brilliant. Where'd you get that, Ed? They're doing that in Luxembourg right now. Eddie, that's beautiful, baby. Whose Line Is It Anyway? That's stolen from British television, or at least it was a cable show over here on Comedy Central, and it was a British host. Where's that poor bastard now? Remember that Whose Line Is It Anyway where they had that English guy? Where's he now? Boy, that cat has just been shuffled to the back of the auditorium, hasn't he? Poor, I bet you he came up with the idea, and that poor devil, or maybe Drew Carey laid a whole lot of scratch on that guy, and, you know, he's living large, and life is a wonderful thing. Because Drew Carey paid him off. You know, here's some bread, now let me call it my show. And that guy's going, why not? I've been breaking my rear end my whole life. You go right ahead with the buzz cut and the glasses. You're just you're all the rage, baby. Go ahead, steal another one. And that's what he did. Now, what happened around the Staples Center, as happens in where Detroit and Denver and Vancouver and Chicago, and I'm sure in New York to some degree, and if any of these other joints start getting any champions, I'm sure it'll happen in their town too. So it happened here. We have on the phone with us from Los Angeles, he only gave us a first name, and we've only agreed to use a first name, Brass, and he was outside the Staples Center last Monday night, is that correct?
Oh, that's correct, yes.
Now, Brass, you claim to my producer to have been in touch with certain people. Are you a former gang member?
Yes, I am.
What gang were you in?
I was in a Flint Ridge gang called Vatos Locos, which is Spanish for wild man or crazy man.
You were in a Flint Ridge gang called the Vatos Locos?
That's correct.
Were you outside the Staples Center last week?
I was.
And you claim to have instigated some of the stuff?
Yes, sir.
How did that happen?
2 weeks ago, it was the Indiana Pacers basketball team, and they asked me to, if it was possible, if the Lakers was going to get the NBA title, okay, in Los Angeles, was it possible for people, anybody, to start some kind of a ruckus or start some kind of a riot outside Staples Center, okay? And I told them at that time, okay, I thought that it was possible, okay? And they asked me if I could instigate that, how much that would cost. And I told them, I gave them a number, They had gone originally to two friends of mine who had declined, so I had subcontracted the deal from my friends, who they had a piece of the money too.
And can you identify who these people are? They call themselves supporters of the Indiana Pacers.
That's all they would tell me, right?
And they paid your friends, who then paid you.
You're right. I subcontracted the job.
And what do you mean? You subcontracted the job of what? Starting a riot?
That's correct. Starting a disturbance. I was not in it for no riot. I told them up front that I was not in it for no riot, but I would start a disturbance. And I could create some kind of disturbance around Staples Center.
So how did you, were you outside the Staples Center last week after the game?
I was there during the game. I was outside the arena during the game, right.
So did you have a hand in starting this?
Yes, sir, I did. I believe I did. It started as the game was ending. I stood on the corner of 11th and Figueroa. And I started to talk to some people there, and they were Latino and black. There were some young Latin males there and some black people. And I knew I had to pick my shot carefully, so I started talking about, you know, I started talking to them about all those white people getting all the good seats, getting the luxury boxes and all that. And I said, how come we all stand out here, y'all, stand out here on the street, all the white people are in there getting the luxury box? And you got to, you know, you all going home watching on your black and white and having to get up and change the channel. And here you're out on the street where all the white people are inside the Staples Arena kicking it, drinking free cocktails or what have you. So they were not happy.
So that in other words, that made them angry?
That's right. And at one point during the game, everyone had to go up close. Because you have to understand something. If you don't have tickets for the game, we had to go up close to the arena and put our heads against the wall. Okay?
Why?
So we could hear the game, because you know we can't afford to watch it on a TV set or hear it on a radio. So we had to go up to the Staples Center wall and press our ears against the wall. And every time we heard some screaming, if it was loud enough, then we know that Shaq just made a dunk, right? And I told him I didn't think that was fair for the brothers to be out on the street sticking their ear up against the wall of the Staples Center, not to have no luxury box.
What are you, so you created a disturbance last Monday night telling these folks that there were white folks in there kicking it in luxury boxes, and you guys had to press your ears up against the wall of the Staples Center.
We're trying to hear Chick Hearn talking about the hard butter and all and whatnot, you know.
And what do you mean Chick Hearn and the hard butter? The butter's getting cold, it's in the ice box?
Right. But nobody had a radio.
But let me ask you something. What makes it easy to create a disturbance? What made it easy for you to create a disturbance outside the Staples Center?
Well, I think, first of all, the brothers and the young Latin males are easy. They're very easily riled up because they're already out on the streets. So now they're on the streets. They start, they're there to hear my stuff, okay? The people in Indiana told me that the brothers out on the coast were easy to rile up.
And you were told that by the people in Indiana, that the brothers on the coast were easy to rile up?
That's right.
Do you think that you achieved your goal of making L.A. look bad?
Yes, I do. I think I succeeded, although the city did throw me for a little bit of a loop when they had that huge parade.
Well, why did you do this? I mean, for money and to make the city of Los Angeles look bad?
Well, I believe in civil disobedience. I protest against what people think I ought to protest against. Okay?
Well, what are your beliefs?
What I'm against, I'm against the Lakers winning while brothers got to stand out on the street and not have to get to go inside and see the game, all right? As long as the brothers are on the street, I don't want Lakers to win nothing. All right, that's all I'm trying to say. And so I believe in a civil disobedience about that. That's my thing, is civil disobedience.
So what you did last week was civil disobedience against the Lakers, what, against the white folks?
Against the Lakers winning while the brothers are on the street, and all the white people kicking in big seats and everything. Okay? As long as the Staples Center has a lot of white people sitting in their seats and everything.
Well, you don't believe that. That's just the crap that you told the black guys, right?
That's what I told them, yeah.
What do you believe?
I want to get paid.
Were you paid for starting the riot?
Yes, I was.
So you went out?
I went out. I told everybody, hey, man, let's start some stuff because there's a whole lot of white folks in there.
And you got paid?
It was wired to my account on Tuesday.
How much?
I'd rather not say.
So all you had to do was go out there and say there's a bunch of white folks in there kicking it in their luxury boxes, and we have to press our ears up against...
Yeah, at one point, there were about 20 people had to run over to the Staples Center and stick their ear up against the wall, and you could hear it, you know, that's Shaq, you know, or that's whoever, right? And I go, well, yeah, they're cheering loud, that means the Lakers did something good, and see, we could be inside there, but those white people won't let you.
And everybody started to burn cars.
Yeah, they all got pissed off and everything, and turned over a cop car and everything like that, right.
Okay, Brass, hold on, all right? We're talking with Brass. He was outside the Staples Center. He claims to have started the problem a week ago tonight by telling everybody standing around out there, how come all the white folks get to be in the luxury boxes while we have to stand out here and press our ear up against the wall of the Staples Center to hear what's going on? And the fact that you guys are watching on black and white and getting up to turn the channel. I don't know anybody, even the poorest guy I know doesn't have to watch on a black and white and get up to switch the channel. Even the poorest dude I know has got a remote. Anyway, he claims he was paid by some supporters of the Indiana Pacers to do that. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. His name is Brass, and he claims to have been outside the Staples Center a week ago tonight, instigating the melee, the disturbance, the riot that took place after the Lakers won the sixth game of the NBA Championship Series by telling people around him, hey, how come we're standing out here having to press our ears up against the wall of the Staples Center while white folks are kicking it inside in luxury boxes and in really good seats? Let me ask you a question here, Brass, you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you a racist?
No, I'm not a racist. Okay, that's what I told the brothers that were outside, okay?
And so that's what you were telling them.
Right, because I wanted to say the very easiest thing that would start a riot, and because I was getting paid by these people, all right?
Yeah, you're claiming that you got some money from some fans of the Indiana Pacers to start this thing.
I'm not claiming that. That's exactly what happened, all right? They sent me money.
They wired the money to your account last Tuesday.
That's correct. Okay, and all I'm trying to say is that that's how easy it is to start a riot in L.A., especially, or maybe it's the same in all these other towns, but especially in L.A., that's how easy it is to get the brothers riled up. All you have to say is all these white folks are kicking it inside the arena. And that was the easy part about it, because when they come to me and they said, you know, we don't know whether Pacers is going to win this series or not, right? And
who are these people? You don't want to name who these people were?
No, sir, I'm not going to. Okay, I'll just tell you they were supporters of the Indiana Pacers. But when they come to me, they said, you know, we want you to start, some stuff, you know, get out there, okay, and start rocking or whatever. I said, well, that's fine with me, you know. And they said, how'd you do that? I said, you know, leave that to me. But in my opinion, the easiest way to get some stuff started is by saying to the brothers and to all these young Latin males are outside the Staples Center, say to them things like, hey, the white man is in there. He's in there, sitting in these white, in these luxury boxes. You got to stand outside watching a black and white TV, okay? And so it's not fair, okay? And look at those news vans, right? And you can get on TV. Because there's two things that a brother wants more than anything else, all right? He wants to be on TV, and he wants to sit with in a luxury box, okay? And if you don't be able to have that, that's going to make him angry. And that's the easiest thing. I tell you right now, I've started a lot of stuff. I've started bar fights and everything. This is the biggest thing that I've ever started personally.
You started bar fights, what, for money?
No, just to do it, just to get stuff riled up. You know, I've started bar fights and fist fights in a bowling alley. I started a fist fight in a bowling alley over in La Habra about 3 years ago. That was a melee. You know, I mean, I had the whole Wednesday night bowling league. They were going out of their minds.
Just for kicks, you started a fist fight during the Wednesday night bowling league, huh?
That's right. So the easiest way to get a brother going is simply say to him, hey, the white man has got all of this, the white man's got all of that. They'll get pissed off. That's why it all started. And then they burned the cop cars, and they also burned up, the news vans because they wanted to get themselves on TV. And that's the easiest thing to do in the world.
All right, well, we're talking to Brass here. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. He says the easiest way to get a fight going, get a riot going, was by walking around outside the Staples Center a week ago and saying there's a whole bunch of white people in there kicking it in their luxury boxes. So you really think that those kids that you talked to were that reactive?
Absolutely. I mean, I proved it. All you have to do is look at them. It took about 15 minutes to get them all pissed off. And I walked over. I got myself a drink of water. I went over to them. I said, hey, look at all those white people in there. And they're having themselves a good time. All these guys got pissed off. I went over. I got myself a beer in my car. And I changed my clothes because I just come from my job. And I had a cigarette and a sandwich that I brought along. And I'm looking at all them starting to burn the cop cars and everything. So it was pretty easy for me to do. And it's not one of those things, you know, that you think about. All you do is just go into your mode and...
Wait a minute. You start a riot, and then you go over to your car and get yourself a beer, a sandwich, and you change your clothes?
Because I just come from my job, right?
Man, aren't you afraid that somebody's going to get hurt?
That's not anything that I have any control over. But I knew that all the brothers wanted to do was, you know, rock and roll. All they want to do is rock that cop car, you know... stick their ear up against the Staples Center and listen for the game. I said, why don't you y'all go up to the Staples Center there and put your ear up against the wall, see if you can hear the game. They said, no, we can't. I said, well, now's the time to start a riot.
What is this, a bunch of people?
It's about 30 guys, yeah.
And so you told all 30 of them to go over and press their ear up against the wall of the Staples Center. Could they hear the game? No. Then they came back to you, and you got them to start rioting.
That's right. That's how easy it is, okay? See, I do it. And the people I know, some of the members of my gang, which is the Vatos Locos out of Flint Ridge.
This is a gang in Flint Ridge.
That's right. This is something we specialize in. A lot of gangs, you know, deal in whatever, I don't know, I don't want to say. But what we specialize in is starting riots and fistfights for money. And we have quite a very lucrative deal. I mean, we do a lot of very lucrative business. And
the Vatos Locos of Flint Ridge start fights for money.
Fights, disturbances, riots. Fist fights at weddings, whatever. You know, all you got to say is walk up to somebody, give them some crap, whatever. And that's all you have to do.
Well, what do you guys get paid for this?
For a wedding?
Yeah, let's say for a wedding. If they hire you to start a fight at a wedding, how much does it cost?
I do probably, I don't know, that costs maybe about $2,000, $3,000. What, you know, whatever they pay the band. Well, I mean, that's what I do.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Dover on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm listening to this ignorant guy talking about, you know, things about black. I mean, we're trying to improve the black race. We're trying to uplift, not even improve, uplift the black race. And we're trying to take every possible situation to uplift this race. And you have an ignorant human being like that one. I mean, I'm not saying that. You might have a little bit of intelligence somewhere, but your ignorance is making you do stupid things.
No, I'm just saying that I start fights for money, that's all.
So you're going to sell your soul for money?
No, I'm not selling my soul.
You're going to sell black people into ignorance for money, basically, right?
I just started a fight out, you know, like at weddings or whatever, or outside the Staples Center. I get people riled up.
Man, look, instead of getting people riled up, why don't you catch you from a parade to make people happy?
Why don't I catch a car rape?
You got money. Can't you use money to make people a little happier instead of...
Do you ever go to family reunion? Like, meet your family?
I do go to family reunion.
I can start a fight there for you. I could start a fight.
I know that's the type of person you are.
For $3,000. That's all
this
I talk.
This is the problem. Well, you are the people that will not be around.